You're listening to KSKQ 89.5 Ashland, Oregon, community supported radio. The name of the show is Your Brain in the Cybersex Jungle. My name is Gary Wilson. This show contains adult themes. Disclaimer time, Your Brain in the Cybersex Jungle is informational only. It is not medical advice. If you need medical advice, please see your doctor. The central theme of the show is how internet pornography impacts young men primarily, their experiences, and the science behind what they are experiencing. You can visit www.yourbrainonporn.com for more information. It has links to forums and such. It's a secular site, commercial free. Now, the show today is actually a continuation of last week's show. It's show number 16 on the website. The name of last week's show was Porn Escalation, Tolerance, and Morphing Sexual Taste. Now, this is really a touchy subject, and to understand this show completely, you need to listen to last week's show. Last week's show, I described how desensitization of the brain's reward circuitry can lead to tolerance. Now, tolerance is a need. It's an addiction change. It's a need for greater and greater stimulation to receive the same level of excitement. And more often than not, it's never really as exciting as the early days. One of the main causes of desensitization is a decline in dopamine signaling in the reward circuitry of the brain. So the reward circuitry becomes less and less sensitive to the dopamine you produce. It can be thought of as a numbed pleasure response. So in essence, in addiction, tolerance is chasing dopamine, and in essence, you really can't ever get enough of it. With drugs and alcohol, tolerance leads to using more of the same. But the key concept with internet porn is that you don't use more of the same. You want more novelty, a new picture, a new scene, a new actress, a new sex act, or a new genre. All those jack up dopamine, and it's the new genres that we are going to discuss today. So what's unique about using high-speed internet porn is that users can escalate by simply clicking on a new genre. Unlike porn of the past, a user can instantly take advantage of all the dopamine-producing qualities of high-speed porn by shock or surprise or anxiety or strong emotions, or all these can be combined in a single experience when you click on something new. The basic premise here is that sexual tastes can change and that acquiring a new porn genre is fueled by a desensitized brain searching for more stimulation. Now, the changes can involve maybe new sex acts such as anal sex. Unfortunately, this is real popular. Or fetishes such as transsexual porn, domination, S&M. Or perhaps getting off to porn that really doesn't match your innate sexual orientation. I know this is touchy, but unfortunately there exists a dogma that all sexual tastes are innate. And this leads to the mistaken belief that no one can ever reverse any sexual taste. It also leads to the widespread belief that if sexual tastes do morph, as they do with these guys, they must be shifting in only one direction, in closer alignment to one's true sexual identity or deepest urges. That is, if one's sexual tastes or porn tastes begin to shift, the only choice is to keep spiraling ever deeper into the belief that this is your true sexual nature, your immutable sexual core. Such dogma no longer applies now that we have high-speed porn that is shaping malleable adolescent brains. Here's a quote from a guy who relapsed at day 23. "Already I can see that if I do quit this addiction, I will be completely able to have healthy sex with women. Along with my binge came a silver lining. Those few first times masturbating were very exciting, and it was to very soft core porn. My sexual taste had begun to normalize. Very reassuring. This binge, however, this vanilla stuff wouldn't even have been a blip on my radar screen 4 weeks ago, but now it drove me wild. Of course, as the binge continued, I progressed onto more extreme material, again making it all too clear that the addiction screws with my taste. I had escalated to more extreme material to get the same rush. End quote. So internet porn use may be normal in our culture today, but we should be very cautious about assuming that porn skewed tastes are innate or immutable. In the case of porn users, it's more accurate to think in terms of irreversible versus reversible changes in taste. The following is a quote from a long thread where guys were actually talking about this, about how eliminating porn eliminated long-standing fetishes that they thought were innate. Quote, "I've done a few 20-day streaks of no masturbation, and I'm currently on day 74 of no porn. I used to be into the craziest things. Today, when I think back to it, I can laugh about it and find my past self completely silly and embarrassing. In short, there's no longer any desire to fantasize and no desire to watch anything bad. I am reset, back to normal. And when I do masturbate, it's to normal things. When I do have wet dreams, they're all about normal romantic sex, not fetish material, like it's been for years." End quote. One thing is clear. A sexual taste or fetish is not innate if eliminating porn use also eliminates the acquired sexual taste or fetish. That's what today's show is all about. Now, please note, it can take many months of no porn or no porn fantasy to eliminate these unwanted sexual acquired tastes. And those who develop something called sexual orientation obsessive compulsive disorder, well, they struggle the most, and they require much longer periods. I have a whole section on Your Brain on Porn all about this, and I'll cover this in a later show. So what we have going on is rewiring sexuality to a screen. Now, up to this point, I've emphasized that it's the addiction-related brain changes, such as desensitization, that are really the driving force behind the escalation to these new and unwanted genres of porn. However, desensitization is not required to alter one's sexual taste. Brains are plastic, so sexual conditioning can occur if the circumstances are just right. It could be as simple as, say, a guy masturbating while clicking from porn site to porn site, and then all of a sudden he sees something that he's never seen before, and it really jacks up his dopamine. Now, if he continues to watch this genre and masturbates and orgasms, voila! He just linked his greatest natural reward to whatever he was watching at the time on the screen. In essence, he's inadvertently carved a new arousal pathway in his brain. Now, he can thank natural selection for his newfound fetish, because fertilization is the brain's top priority. So even if a porn user would prefer to forget what he just saw, his brain carefully rewires all the associations that led up to this orgasm. It wants him to be able to fertilize this target again in the future. That's nature. With continued use, this new brain pathway can actually become the pathway of choice, irrespective of his fundamental sexual taste. In short, the old axiom is nerve cells that fire together wire together, especially if they produce a bigger and better orgasm. Here's a key concept behind all of this. The same mechanism for rewiring sexuality is the same mechanism that initiates addiction-related brain changes. Yes, the same mechanism. This is new research. So the first step in addiction, no matter what the addiction is something called sensitization, which I talked about on previous programs. It's the nerve cells that fire together, wire together. Sensitization is a form of Pavlovian conditioning. Think of sensitization as a super memory of pleasure or the potential for pleasure. Now, Pavlov's dog has formed a brain circuit that wired the anticipation of food with the sound of a bell. Wiring in a new sexual taste is similar, but also quite different. First, sexual stimulation releases far more dopamine than food. Remember, dopamine powers the reward circuitry. Second, salivating to a bell had no effect on the dog's ability to eat or enjoy eating. In other words, the dog didn't prefer the bell over real food. It didn't change the type of food that the dog liked. It didn't turn the dog from a carnivore into a vegetarian. Sensitization can change the type of porn that gets a guy salivating, especially if he continues to reinforce it. Now, let's back up a bit. So here's the simplified path to sensitization, which is rewiring of the brain. It is a specific stimulus, in this case porn, releases high levels of dopamine, which leads to the accumulation of delta-phosb. That's a special molecule, delta-phosb. Now, high levels of delta-phosb activate certain genes and turn other certain genes off, and this restructures the brain so that it will get really, really excited for that one stimulus. That's also how all addictions begin. Animal experiments show this very same process occurs in overconsumption of drugs or natural rewards. Natural rewards such as high amounts of sex or high fat, high sugar foods. The debate is over, guys. Both drug and behavioral addictions involve the same fundamental changes. That's recent research. In fact, here's a quote from a major study on delta-phosb and addiction. Quote, "Research suggests that long-lasting effects of both sexual behavior and drugs are mediated by common cellular or molecular mechanisms," unquote. Now, generally speaking, the process of sensitization requires repeated use or exposure. So the question that always comes up is, why would our brain evolve mechanisms to get us addicted? Well, delta-phosb is not there to get us addicted. It's there to rewire our brain to get really excited about what's really, really important. To have us remember everything about it. The when, what, where, and how of what it is. The urge to pursue it by inducing cravings. So what is the it? Well, the it in evolution is sex and food, but especially sex. So addictive drugs only hijack the mechanisms already in place for sex and food. Research again. Delta-phosb is released in high levels when virgin rodents, such as mice and hamsters and rats, first mate. So sex and ejaculation rewires their little rodent brains and sensitizes these pathways that are saying, this is what you do, and this is who you do it with. Please, please, do it again. You're listening to Your Brain in the Cybersex Jungle. This is Gary Wilson. So I want to make this really simple. It's high levels of dopamine, maybe for long periods, that stimulate delta-phosb that rewire the brain. When a guy is bored or his brain is desensitized and he clicks on a new porn genre, and that elevates his dopamine, he may be headed down a slippery slope to an unwanted sexual taste. Here's a post from a guy on that same thread I mentioned. Quote, "I used to be obsessed with anal sex. I'm not anymore. This may be because I had a really dreadful experience the last time I didn't. Don't ask. But I think quitting all the anal porn in which it's held up to be the holy grail of sexual experience has also played a big part. It's great, because I'm not always think about how I'll convince a girl to let me do something she really doesn't want to do. Also, I'm pretty obsessed with permissible, quotes, taboo porn, like stepsister or stepdaughter or babysitter, etc. And I haven't even thought about all that stuff for weeks. So yeah, the volume of fetishes is definitely lower, even as I find the thought of ordinary sexual acts more arousing, end quote. So this is a guy seeing his fetishes disappear. Now let's get back to our little tiny rats and see what they show us. The suggestion that sexual taste can be profoundly reconditioned is not theoretical. A couple of recent experiments have shown that a male rat can be conditioned to prefer a same-sex partner by simply jacking up his dopamine. And it really didn't take very long. Here's what the researchers did. They injected a male rat with a dopamine agonist. Now, what is that? That's a drug that mimics dopamine. Then they placed the little rat in a cage with another male rat who smelled like almond oil. Now, the almond oil is just for recognition. It's nothing really special to a rat. It doesn't get him excited. So the two male rats just hung out together for a day, and the dopamine agonist disappears after a day. So they just hung out. Now, the researchers repeated this two more times, injecting this rat with dopamine agonist and then sticking him in the cage. A few days later, the reconditioned male was put to a test. He was placed into a cage with his male buddy, who smelled like almond oil, and a sexually receptive female. Now, remember, the dopamine was out of his system. Guess which rat turned him on the most? Well, he showed more response to the male rat. More erections, more genital investigation, and even female-like solicitations as opposed to normal male mating behavior. The lesson here? High levels of dopamine can powerfully rewire the brain and alter sexual tastes. The researchers emphasized that the male rat wasn't gay, as he didn't mount the other rat, but he certainly wasn't normal, was he? Like the researchers, I am not suggesting that continued porn use can change someone's sexual orientation. However, it can change what type of porn excites you. Now, this can happen in humans, too. They give dopamine agonists, or dopamine-raising drugs, to people with certain conditions, such as Parkinson's disease. Dopamine agonists are given to people with Parkinson's disease because they are severely deficient in dopamine, and dopamine helps to control muscle movement. But problems can occur. Studies show that up to 25% of Parkinson's patients develop compulsive behaviors, most commonly compulsive gambling, compulsive eating, and hypersexuality. Here's a headline, and you can find a lot of them online. Here's a headline. A French court is set to award substantial damages to a 47-year-old father of two with Parkinson's disease who was ruled to have been turned into a gambler, a thief, and have compulsive homosexual urges by the drugs he was taking, end quote. Now, here's a quote from the man himself. I could not have told this story even several months ago without breaking down. I know of other dreadful examples here in France, including someone imprisoned as a result of compulsive gambling, and of women who ended up prostituting themselves because of their sexual obsessions, end quote. The article continues. Within a year of starting his medication, he felt his first signs of what he calls a Jekyll and Hyde state. During highs, he began to place bets on horses. By the next year, he began trawling gay internet sites for sexual partners whom he invited home, end quote. So this is not uncommon. The good news is when the dosages of these dopamine-activating drugs are reduced, all the compulsive behaviors just disappear, including the sexual behaviors. I know porn users aren't taking dopamine agonists, but it still comes down to elevated dopamine. Today's high-speed internet porn makes it possible for users to keep dopamine elevated for hours with the novelty, with the anticipation. Some users watch or edge for hours on end without even ejaculating. In other words, porn use isn't limited to just simply masturbating. Guys watch at work on their cell phones, or they start after dinner and watch until they fall asleep at night. This brings us back to the elephant in the room, the adolescent brain. The main purpose of the adolescent brain is to wire up to all sexual cues so it can successfully reproduce. And that's why the teen brain is different. It has much higher levels of dopamine, has much higher levels of delta-fosB. It is rewiring all the time, and it reacts to novelty with 2 to 4 times more dopamine than an adult brain. So put it simply, the adolescent brain is primed to rewire to anything sexual, to condition itself. In fact, it can condition itself to the smell of death. Yes, that's what they've done with rats this time. And they didn't use dopamine agonists. Here, researcher Jim Faust actually conditioned rats to love something called cadaverine. That's the odor of decaying flesh. Normally, rats will avoid decaying flesh. It's innate. They'll bury dead rats. They'll run away from it. But here's what happened. In an experiment, they sprayed females with cadaverine and placed them in cages with young virgin males. Sure enough, the males mated and ejaculated several times. So several days later, these same young rats were placed in a large cage with normal-smelling females and females smelling like death. Well, what happened? The males conditioned to cadaverine mated with both types of females. Normally, male rats won't go near females who smell like death. Now, a few days later, these conditioned males were given a little wooden dowel saturated with cadaverine. They played with it, and many of it gnawed on it as if they would be gnawing on a dowel laced with something they really, really liked, like chocolate. Just as rats and humans really don't like the smell of rotting flesh, many of today's porn users don't really like what they've escalated to. They learn to define sex according to what stimuli gives them the biggest sexual buzz, the biggest buzz of dopamine. This lesson is a powerful one, as we can see from the rats who just loved their cadaverine-laced dowels. Here's another experiment along the same lines. Scientists introduced a receptive female and then a minute later yanked her out of the cage. This conditioned the poor little male rat to ejaculate much faster than normal. Here's the scary part. If the males learn this pattern during their first sexual experiences, it stuck with them, even if they were later allowed uninterrupted access to females. Incidentally, the researchers taught experienced males, which had learned sex under normal conditions, to ejaculate faster by yanking the females after a minute. However, unlike the rats whose sexual behavior was conditioned from the start, the experienced rats fell back to normal mating behavior when allowed uninterrupted access to the females. Now, this research lines up with what we hear from guys recovering from, say, ED. Guys who develop their sexuality before internet porn use only need a couple of months to recover from ED. However, guys who started masturbating early on internet porn need much longer to have normal sex and to recover from porn-induced ED, perhaps 6 months or longer to have satisfactory sex. In fact, here's a quote from a guy, and he's asking on a thread, quote, "Given that porn has overridden our natural libidos and made everything else seem boring, will we ever be able to get as excited about real sexual encounters again as healthy people do?" End quote. So here's another guy answering him, because he's wondering the same thing. Quote, well, according to those who have successively rebooted, which means giving up porn, yes, I guess we can. But I know what you mean about sex being boring. Every time I've attempted it, it's felt weird, awkward, boring, alien. I'm not turned on at all. End quote. So this is a quote from young guys who were conditioned by internet porn, who then tried to have sex, and it didn't feel right. Does this remind us of these rats who've been conditioned to maybe the smell of death, or conditioned to being yanked, or other types of conditioning? Perhaps. So it really pays to train your sexuality from the start if your ultimate goal is to have sex with real people. That's what adolescence is about, conditioning your sexuality to normal sexual cues, not to a screen. So, of course, one strategy you can take is to give up porn and maybe masturbate to the thoughts of real partners. So that's about all we can say about this subject. It's a very touchy subject, and it's quite new. It's the fact that we have high-speed internet porn available 24/7, and it is meeting the adolescent brain. That's it for now.